Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Today, my family, we are talking about practical tips to win in the marketplace. Now, you know, the first thing that you have to do is to pray about it. Take your time whilst you are at home. Pray about your marketplace where you are working, where you are serving God on a daily basis. You wake up in the morning, you take a bath, you rush there, but you're going there to serve God. Most of the times, the mistake that we make is thinking that we are just going to work for a boss. It's not about your boss. It's not about your senior. It's not about whoever that you're reporting to, but you have to work as though you are doing it for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It's all about Jesus. So when you're out there, know that you're representing, you yourself are an ambassador in that space. There are people who do not know Christ, but you do know him. They do not know him, and they are living anyhow, but you cannot. You're not expected to live anyhow. You shouldn't even live anyhow, but you should live to glorify the Lord. In everything that you do, you should do it to glorify the Lord. He's a God of excellence, a God of order. May we also bring these in our spaces. May they see it through us. Yeah, bo? Let's be the first ones to do right in those spaces. So today we're talking about the tips to winning in the marketplace. Tips for winning in the marketplace with Ambassador Prudence Muchumi. How are you, my king?
I'm very well, thank you, Sibongile. I'm thriving by grace in the marketplace.
Wow, family, I'm joined now by Ambassador Prudence Muchumi, and we're talking about practical tips to win in the marketplace today. And when Ma walked into the studio and I saw her sad face, when you say this, you don't say it with a smile on your face, like the smile goes off. I'm like, ooh, this is serious. And you say, the bottom line is Christians are not winning in the marketplace.
We are not winning in the marketplace.
Why?
Yeah. So because the marketplace is a contentious environment, it's a competitive environment, it's a combative environment, that is where resources are allocated. So because believers don't go into the marketplace with that seriousness, number one, and secondly, they don't go in with their faith intact. They don't go in with a true identity, so that's why they're losing. Everybody else understands what happens in the marketplace, what they are there to do, but believers think that they are there to get money, to get resources, but they don't have all their spiritual weapons intact when they go there. So with what do you then win? So that's why we're not winning, because we are not ourselves. We are not understanding our spiritual weapons and why God has given them.
Let's go back. Do we understand the marketplace itself?
I don't think so, because, you know, it's interesting that you should ask that. So once I was sending out a poster to say we're having the session about how to win in the marketplace, and people were in the marketplace and people were still asking questions about where is the marketplace. So, for example, people who work in government don't think they're in the marketplace. People who are working for themselves don't think they're in the marketplace. But all this, getting your skills, like we said about young people and graduates, it's to enter the marketplace. When we are there, wherever there's a trading of skills, of talents, of abilities, selling products, selling services, and there's an exchange of money or ideas, that is a marketplace. So most of us, 80, 90% of us are in a marketplace every day, and we just don't understand. So we don't understand then what are the rules, the laws, the principles, the things that make you to win and lose in the marketplace.
But I said something earlier on to the Radio Pulpit family, and I said most of us, we think when we're going to the marketplace, if you have hired me and I'm your HR or whatever that
marketing
I hold, then I think that I'm working for you. And I think that's where we start messing it all up.
Absolutely.
Because when we go out to the marketplace, it's not about the person who hires us. It's about Christ, right?
We are already hired. We are already hired, and the master, the main boss, is the one who's hired us. That's absolutely right. And I think that is why I'm saying when we go to the marketplace, we don't understand it, because we go there to say, just when Prudence, if I'm the boss there, what I see you doing, how you please me, that is all you are about. So you then go with the same traits and characteristics of everybody else that's there, but you are not even working for Prudence. The Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the east or west. It doesn't even come from your boss. It comes from God who raises another and humbles another. So that is who you're working for. So that true identity issue is really big, because that is why we work the way we work in the marketplace. I always tell people,
Yeah, because now I'll give you an attitude, because you're not what I expected you to be.
Exactly.
So I'll give you an attitude for getting that. Yeah. No, I'm not here for you.
Exactly.
It might be you who has hired me, but God is the one who opened the door and hired me in that space.
And God is using that job, that boss, as a vehicle to give you your stream of income. For that time, it may not even be for always. So if you don't understand that, that's exactly why. So now I'm looking at Prudence and I'm looking how she's carrying herself, but I came there with a different agenda. I've been placed there by God to be salt and light. And very soon I get distracted by all the things that are happening in the place, and I myself become part of the darkness. I've dropped the mic right there.
You make me think of what a sister that I know that we work with right here on Radio Pulpit. He would make an example and say, some people in their marketplaces, they are stealing toilet papers. And we will get to heaven and the toilet papers will be running after you.
What about the stationery? I've dropped the mic.
So the attitude that we go into the marketplace needs to change. Remember that it's all about God.
Attitude is actually the biggest one. So I often tell people, I just, on the 2nd of September, I just onboarded 3 employees. And I was saying to them, your attitude does determine your altitude. It really, really does. Because a lot of people, I even tell them, I said, I don't give jobs to people. I give them opportunities. And they will make what they will of that opportunity. And I also, when I onboard people, I always tell them, somebody else was in this job before. And they're not here anymore. So that's the reason why you really need to think about, how are you going to show up in this role? How are you going to show up in this job every day? The attitude with which, if you get feedback, if you are told to correct something, if you are told about this report that's not the standard that is expected, your attitude immediately gives your employer a lot of data points. So by the time they sit and speak with you, they have a long list of, this day you did that, the other day you were late, the other day your report, the other day you didn't do that. So your attitude is very, very important. So we said, first of all, identity, who I am, who I work for. Secondly, the issue of attitude. Because the attitude would be, do people bring you onto their projects? When there's something special happening, are they giving you exposure? When there's training to happen, is your employer willing to invest in you? And that will be as a result of your attitude. Are you going to be around here for a long time, or are you the moaner and complainer? And I'm telling you, people moan and complain all the time. And while that is what's happening in the marketplace, it should not be the testimony of believers.
I think you have to go back to when one is reporting to a tough boss. A very hard-hearted person. Well, the Lord tells us that, or the Bible tells us that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And Moses had to have God on his side to win Pharaoh's heart.
Let's talk about Daniel. Let's talk about Daniel. Daniel was, they were defeated. They were carried to Babylon. And there he had to work in the king's service. And Daniel said, okay, whatever works here for everybody is not going to work for me. So give me an opportunity to be different. How am I going to be different? Whatever everybody's eating, I won't be eating that. I've dropped the mic right there. Whatever everybody else is doing, I'm not going to do that. But evaluate me in 10 days. After 10 days, see who is better. Am I better? Do I look better? Or is the other people better who are eating the king's delicacies? So tough bosses may just be what God is using to iron sharpens iron.
It might be your elevation.
That tough boss, let me tell you, the reason why I'm where I am today is because of the bosses that God has used to refine me for this moment of Her Excellency Ambassador. How was I ever going to get there when all my bosses are just...
How are you even going to thrive in that space?
You can't. There is a refinement. And you know, the reason why I love the stories in the Bible, even when things went wrong, is because it gives us the opportunity to learn from others. Like I said, let's talk about another big marketplace example, Joseph. Joseph is doing everything well, working his best, doing everything right in Potiphar's house. And here comes the lady, making all manner of false accusations. So there are people right now where people are making false accusations against you at work. And that is why if your identity is right, if you know you're working for God, you can just go to him and say, Lord, you've placed me here. You've given me this job as a blessing. There is a storm that has suddenly arose. And that is what happened to the disciples, right? Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. And the Bible tells us suddenly a storm arises. You're just doing your work. You've just been given an incentive. You've been given an award. They've given you a promotion. Suddenly, the jealousy storm arises. Suddenly, the backbiting storm arises. Suddenly, the lie storm arises. People talking about you. What is your posture going to be? You have to go to your boss and say, I've done everything right. I've done what you said. I'm your representative here. And here is the storm. And the Bible says when the disciples were panicking in the boat, Jesus stilled that storm. So how is that storm? Because you go back to your boss, and that's where we started. Even when we are working in environments that don't seem to be the ones that are conducive for our growth, let's go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm here because I'm representing Christ. This is my situation. How are you going to help me?
There's somebody who asked me a question and said, how do I know that God has placed me into a certain marketplace? Because I'm frustrated where I'm at. I want to go. But I've been putting out CVs and I keep finding myself right here.
Oh, wow.
So, and this person is saying, but how do I know that it's God? How do I know that it's God? How do we know that it's God? Because you did mention,
this is going to be a tough one, though. This answer is going to be a tough one. So, you know, you Radio Pulpit family, you know I love you, right?
All right. Should we brace ourselves?
Yes. All right. How do you know? Because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
Yes, they know my voice. They hear my voice. So it's to ask God. It's your Father. So, Lord, I'm doing this. I'm trying to get out. And I think I shared this before in the studio that there are some times when after church, after maybe the word has been preached, we minister to people, right? So prophetically, a word will come up and you would ask the person, maybe, can I pray? What specific thing can I pray for you for? And they would say, you know, I want to leave my job because my boss, I want to leave my job because my colleagues, just the example that you've given. And a lot of the time they want to leave their job because of the hardship, not because God has not placed them there. That's why I said I'm dropping the mic to him. You see, Daniel was, they defeated their king, they defeated them, carried them to a foreign land. Now here he is in a completely different culture. But God gave him the upper hand in that culture because he did not succumb to the culture. He didn't use the things that they were using in that culture. He said, listen, you guys eat that and let's see in 10 days. Yeah. I'm just going to keep on doing what I've been doing. And then even the prayer, when he started praying, that's what they used. Hey, this person is praying. So they went to tell the boss, you know what? I think we need to pass a law. This is how we're going to get him. So they're conspiring against him. And he kept on praying. He even opened the window. Now he's praying even more. And the Lord gave him the upper hand in that environment. So, first of all, that question, speak to your father
about
it.
Are we spoiled? Are we too spoiled in the Jesus era?
No, I don't think we're too spoiled. I don't even think we have even opened all the benefit package that we've been given. We haven't opened it. That is why we are saying this hardship, that hardship, but there's a benefit package. You know, when you are offered a job, the job comes with benefits, right? So if we knew the benefits, if we knew what was available for us, even in the hardship, that there is help. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is a helper. Holy Spirit, help me with my boss. How do I actually, give me wisdom, give me godly wisdom on how do I win their heart? Instead of you coming to complain in prayer about how you want the boss to change, how the boss is not changing, he hasn't changed for the last 40 years. But Holy Spirit, give me the key of how would I speak to my boss in a way that they will hear. What is it that makes them so hard? What is it? What brokenness is in their lives? What have they gone through that has made them and shaped them to be the person that they are today? And the Holy Spirit, who knows all things, will tell you. And don't speak to them in the morning. Don't speak to them when you see them like that. Bring them a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
They like cappuccino. That's how you're going to melt their heart. That is what the Holy Spirit will tell you.
And you might be surprised that at the end of it all, after you've done everything and you've taken care of that boss, like the Lord says you should, then he opens another door and you can go. But you until then, until you've ministered God to them, you're stuck there.
I can tell you testimonies where God will use that boss, that Nebuchadnezzar,
to open the door for you.
That's it. That's it. You never know what God will do. The Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
He can turn it any way he wants to. That is why I'm saying, believers, a Radio Pulpit family, we haven't even opened the benefit package.
Sure. All right. So it's who you are working for, the attitude.
Mm-hmm. Thirdly, it's time. How are you using your time in that place? You know, sometimes believers don't understand that there is time and time is precious. Once you've spent that day at work, you can never get it back. So if you don't use your time wisely, number one, basics, punctuality at work. Where are the believers? Who is in the office first? Who is in the office last? You know, they used to say in my era, when I started work, they used to say one of the ways of impressing your boss is if they find you there in the morning when they get there, and if they leave and you are still there, they must be the one to say, Sibongile, pack up your bags and go home. You're always
here.
What
are you still doing?
What are you still doing here? Not the boss who's calling to find out, Prudence, it's 9:30. I'm going to my 10 o'clock meeting. I thought you'd be here now. No, sorry, there's an accident on the highway. There's always an accident on the highway.
But okay. So, but let's say that let's say you are on time. You mm-hmm. You keep your time and mm-hmm. all that. But there is some hold up today.
Okay.
So one needs to have integrity, right?
Absolutely.
Let it be me first who calls the boss
mm-hmm.
before the boss asks me. It's 9:30. Where are you? Isn't it?
That's what I say to people.
Integrity.
I cannot look for you when you are working for me.
Or maybe I made a mistake and I always get my reports on time
Bosses know exceptions.
Okay.
But when you are always the one who misses the deadline, who don't do things, who were confused about the deadline, or let me tell you this other one that I love. People, when you say to them, oh, I need your report on Wednesday the 11th, then they're going to send it to you 2 minutes to midnight. And they feel proud because it's still on the 11th of September. That's how we're working. I've come to speak truth to power because I love all of us, right?
And we do that in Christendom. We do that in church.
So how are we now salt and light and the difference? How are we standing out? Why is your boss wondering, but who am I going to promote? I've got only 2 positions to promote.
Mm.
Who am I going to promote? Why is your boss wondering? The boss must fight himself not to promote you. Like, oh my goodness, this person is just so good. They're here every morning. They're late here. They're always asking me, what can I do to assist you? What are you worrying about? Mm. What is keeping you up at night?
Mm.
I've already gone into my next point.
Mm.
Your relationship with your boss.
Mm.
What keeps, you know, if you are attending to what keeps your boss up at night, what they are worrying about, and you are trying to solve those problems, you cannot be the person that they are not thinking, considering, discussing when there is a promotion, when there's a special project, when they are thinking who is the most reliable person competent to handle this. Even if you are not even ready in competence, the boss will take the risk on you because we have to take risk on talent.
Mm.
When we are bosses, we will say, okay, come and I'll mentor you. Come and we'll give you a coach because you are working on the problem that keeps me up at night. That's it.
Time for repentance.
There you go. And I'm one of them. I also must be because I want to go to my next
but
level.
But okay. So you do all of these things at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the middle, you deviate. Mm-hmm. What brings about that before we continue?
Distraction.
Because there's so many people that I know, they had a good relationship. They were problem solvers.
Mm-hmm.
They were on time and everything. But somewhere. Somewhere in jail, how? And then what happened?
Yeah. I call it distractions. There may be many reasons. I call it distractions because when you typically go to a place of employment, you go there because you have a need. So you want to feed your family. You need to have a house. You need to have transportation for the rest of your life, right? So other things in your life. So you're not going there because you love the company particularly. You go there because the company can help you to do the things that are important in your life. They give you the opportunity to get an income, to take care of your family, that mm-hmm. are important, to take care of yourself, that's important, to have food, that's important. And then your skills and your competence. They also give you the opportunity to live out what God has given to you, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your skills, your creativity. They give you a unique opportunity to do that. When you get there, you start, like you said, now you get distracted. Now you start hanging around with those friends who come late, those ones who take the longest lunches, those ones that we are always calling, those ones who report are always late. And eventually, that same Kool-Aid that they are drinking, you start drinking the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. So I call it
association
distraction.
You're
forgetting why you came there. And you're forgetting that I need to pay my bond or else my family will be on the street. You start to forget. And now you start thinking about the company. Now you start thinking about they always want me to be here. You didn't come here because you wanted to do something for the company. You came here for your shelter, your food, your clothing, your education, your family's education. And now you're getting distracted by the things you find in that environment.
So what you're saying also, Ma, I believe then that it's important to know who you're associating with at work, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because we will also look at that. And when you start to hear things about this person's performance is not up to standard, etc., we start to go back and say, okay, who do they hang around with? Are they amongst the fed flock that all are going around together? Or are they trying hard and they just, maybe we have to train them.
Yeah.
Maybe we have to support them more.
Yeah.
Maybe more coaching and mentoring should go into it. Or are they just part of that negative group that is always saying everything bad about the company? And I'm telling you, once you fall into that crowd, the company knows how they have for the last 40, 50 years, 100 years, how they've worked with people who have nothing good to say about a company. And we don't have time to invest more in that person.
Yeah. All right. Carol says, good morning, family. We really need to change and be able to manage our time.
Absolutely.
God help us. I can even see she covered her eyes.
Thank you, Carol.
Hey, Carol, may the Lord help us.
Yes,
yes. We can't be always the last ones. Pietra, what's up, Pietra vandag? Love them. I know I love you. Pray. Shame. Okay. I'm not quite sure if Pietra is talking to us. Pietra is not talking to us.
Okay.
Let's move a little bit. I saw Shalom Jay. Shalom Jay says, blessings, Sbongile and ma'am. Is it possible that Elohim decided that if it isn't time for you to work for money, but trust him to provide, all doors to get a job will be closed? All right, I'm going to park there for now. Is it possible that he can do that?
It depends. So is it possible it's not time for you to work for money? There could be different contexts to this question,
but
God will still use money for you to get food, or he will use somebody to bring the food. However, that person will have to have money to go to a shop to get food. So a lot of the time, it's difficult to see where money doesn't come in, because the Bible says money answers all things. So God will either use money by you getting it, or God will use another person who has the resources. And that is like missionaries. Missionaries are on the mission field, but us who are in the marketplace, we are responding.
We make sure that
they stay there, they have means, they have food to eat, they have shelter by the money that we get in the marketplace. So it's difficult to say God, to respond to, it's not time for you to
work
for money.
So he has to provide one way or another.
He has to provide, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Because I remember we used to work with Lizzie, and she used to say, God cannot expect you to go to a store and you say Shandara Bakanda, and then the food, you know, or you get there and you say Jesus is Lord, and
they're gonna say, absolutely, that's exactly what we've been waiting for. put the till, bring your trolley through, we'll ring it up, and that is what we'll
all right,
put.
So God has to provide. And she says, I'm asking this because two of my children in a place where every place, one seeks a job, it falls through, and then the other one clearly says that she isn't called to work a job.
Okay, so not everybody has to go to a workplace, but everybody has to work.
Okay.
You know, work was instituted by God in the Garden of Eden. So that issue around work is also something that we need to clear up. So I will say that, yes, there are times when God is dealing with you. So I think I shared it also with myself.
Yeah.
There was 9 months where God was shutting down all my things. And I only had one project to pay for what I needed to do. But God did still leave because there was still a bond to pay. There was still a child in school. There were still all the other things to take care of. And I had those basic needs. And they were met through the income from that project.
Okay.
So, but that person may just have to have their products and services in the marketplace. That person may go through, it's like a pastor going into ministry. God will provide, but there must be provision, as we've said. And that provision, most of the time, it would require money.
All right. Sinobaba Nkosi on the line. Hi, Baba Nkosi. How are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure. How are you, sister?
Hey, blessed. Welcome.
Beyond measure.
Yeah. How are you, ma?
I'm very well. Thank you, Baba Nkosi.
I'm blessed beyond measure. You know, Sister Sibongile,
yes, sir.
I'm very much glad about what my mom is teaching there.
Yeah.
Because we Christians, we want to be like other people in at the marketplace.
Asia. As we repent, Baba. As we repent.
Because we Christians, we must not do what other people does.
Amen. Yeah.
If you are a sweeper, you must be a sweeper with a different.
Amen.
In everything that we do, we must excel.
Amen.
Because we have got the spirit of excellence.
Spirit of excellence.
Yes. Now, if we are going to copy what others are doing, then we are going to suppress that spirit of excellence that is in us. Yes. There's someone who asked, how are you going to see that is God who have placed you there?
Yeah.
I'll ask Sister Sibongile to read Joshua 1.
Okay, as I'm rushing to the book of Joshua... Ma has brought a Bible, you know, a proper Bible in the studio.
What verse? Abang Kosi?
Joshua 1 verse.
From verse 3.
I knew
okay.
it.
And it says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Should I continue?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
No. Every place
where you land,
where you set your foot on, I've given you that place.
Amen.
The only problem we are having, we doubt ourselves that, am I at the right place?
Yeah.
God said, I have given you every place where you put your foot on.
Amen.
Whatever, wherever you are, knows that it's God who led me to this place. Then I'm the one who have to change this place.
Amen.
And make it what I want it to be.
Light.
Sure.
Because we think God is the one who have to change the place and make it suitable for us. No, we are the one.
What wisdom. What wisdom. You are there to be light in that darkness.
It's not the other way around.
No, don't be overtaken by the darkness.
Yes,
shine the light. Thank you.
We are the one who have to change that place and make it suitable for us.
Yeah.
And in order for us to enjoy it.
Amen.
Not God.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Baba Nkosi. I know Shayang Amaji. Now Shayang Amaji, Baba Nkosi.
Thank you, Baba Nkosi. And you know,
throwing stones.
That is such an important lesson.
Yeah.
Where you land.
Yeah.
Even sometimes when we are praying, going back to that previous question about thinking maybe this is not where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
But you can have the lens of wherever I land, God has given this land to me. And that is when I'm there, I'm supposed to bring the difference. And that is why I was using the example of Daniel. He was taken to a foreign place And so he could feel like, this is not my place. I want to get out of here. I want to go back to where we were. But God prospered him there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that is why he overcame that system and he was promoted in that system, because he kept true to his spiritual disciplines.
All right. One of the concerns about what the mother says is that there's a lot of criticism and resistance in a lot, you know, because they don't work. So if they're studying, like she says, her daughter is studying ancient Hebrew and the scriptures, and doing these, another one, so what? Does a lot of swift study on many creative things, from writing to engineering. So they're doing something.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But the question would be, what did the Lord say to you whilst you're doing this? How would your provision come? How would your food be taken care of? How would your clothing be taken care of? Because if God gives you something to do where you are not going to have an income, there is a way of provision he has made. So let's hear what that is whilst you are doing that. That is what I'm saying. Even when a pastor is told, quit your job, I'm now calling you into ministry.
He has to tell
the Lord will have to, oh Lord, so my three children, how would they go to school? How would I feed? How would I clothe them whilst I'm doing this?
All right. And then she quotes something from Anne Hamilton about, then she says it's about jealousy and trouble, and says, this is what Anne Hamilton says, that when you reach your breakthrough and pass over, then the jealousy attacks start, because the spirit couldn't delay, hinder, or distract you from the breakthrough. So now,
absolutely.
So now it's now attempts to stop you reaching success your breakthrough.
Absolutely true. Mm. And that's why we said, once things start happening for you, then the storm of jealousy, lies.
Yeah, so be careful.
Be careful. Just expect that the enemy never wants you to fulfill what God has called you to do.
All right.
And so he's going to attack.
Okay.
So let it not be, nothing is befalling you that is not common to men.
Oh, right. Yeah, and there's a scripture.
1 Corinthians 10.
Yeah. And hello to Pastor Khomozo Maga, who says, oh, yes, forward we go. Calvary greetings, Sis Bongile Ambassador, and your entire listenership. I have tuned in. Thank you so much, Maruti, for tuning in. It's always an honor. We love you, my queen. Let's take a break and then come back. I don't think we'll be able to finish this today. But yeah, we are coming back right here on Just For You on Radio Pulpit, your Daily Companion. I'm Sibongile Mofokeng, just about to say goodbye to you. Time is so jealous when we are learning and having a great time in the presence of the Lord. I'm with Ambassador Prudence Muchumi. We're talking about the practical tips to win in the marketplace. We're just going to put a comma on it. My family, we are going to come back. Such an awesome topic to have. And I see Mrs. Robinstein in Bulawayo, who says thank you for the lesson. And she's listening and hoping that everyone is listening. And she's like, we need to work very hard. And she gave us the psalm that says, the Lord says there, I will give you the feet of an hind goat to climb the high steep. God is watching, saints. And she says, we need to do better. Ooh, Brands, who handed Brands? Brands says, morning, Spongile and Prudence. Thank you so much. An informative program and truths from the Word of God. What we do not, or we do in the marketplace, I feel we should also do in personal life. So true. And then he says, there could be more opportunities in the marketplace when our fellow men see how we conduct ourselves personally. Thank you, Brands.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM. 657 AM, radio for believers in action.